Brother and Sister Aguiar are longtime friends of our ministry. I was telling somebody the other day, I think, how many years? 10 years coming now? Something like that? Wow, okay. No, with this church. So since 92, my goodness, that's a few years. My math isn't that good this early. Haven't had enough cups of coffee. 28 years. Okay, praise God. And so we know them well, and we're thankful that they still come back to us. Haven't stopped yet. And if you'd have your Bibles out, I know you'll have a good message this morning. Brother, why don't you come and share with us, preach to us.
One of these things are different no matter what church I go to. You know, if they could just have one, you know, like we have one Bible, if we could just have one sound system, it'd make things easier. But good to be with you, and we appreciate the opportunity of been looking forward to the revival services, and I hope you have also, as we've planned and prayed, and a lot of things have taken place. I feel like a full gospel preacher. After yesterday. Boy, that fish was good, and we enjoyed it. What a blessing it is, and it's just good to be with you. I was looking at the church bulletin, and one of the things found in the church bulletin is the theme within the revival of pressing towards the mark, and God's desire is for us to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. But I want to give you some thoughts about it. And I want to give you some thoughts in this matter. When life hits you at the worst, you ever tried to live for God and do what God wants you to do, try your best to serve Him, and all of a sudden life messes up on you? Now, I don't know about you, but every now and then life messes up on me. We have problems, we have troubles, we have trials. We have health issues, we have this, we have that, a lot of different things. And when life hits you at the worst time in your life, how do you press towards the mark? How do you keep living for God when things go wrong? And now you say, Brother Aguiar, everything's going good, everything's going fine, my health's pretty good, my friends are pretty good, the family's doing pretty good. Well, hold on for a while, things are going to get worse sooner or later. We live in a world where it's just problems. We live in a world where there's troubles. And so things are going to get worse. But if you'll notice with me in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, in verse number 1, the Bible says it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag, and it burned with fire. And had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small. But carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Verse 4 says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. Notice this, until they had no more power to weep. Now, could you just imagine with me? Here it is, David and his men, they're living in the land of Ziklag, belonging there with the Philistines. And the Philistines, they said, we're getting ready to go to war. Since you live in Ziklag, you have to go with us to war, all your men. So here it is, there's 400 men, David, they take off, they go with the Philistines. And in the midst of it, the Philistine says, wait a minute, this guy is really an Israelite. Though he's living in Ziklag, we don't want him around. He might turn on us in the midst of the battle. So they send David and 400 men back home. They said, we don't want you with us. We don't want you fighting with us. Who can tell? You might just turn on us. And so here, David and 400 men, they start heading back to home. As they're heading to home, David and his men, they're looking. All of a sudden, they see smoke coming up. And they're looking towards Ziklag, and they see this smoke coming up. And so I can see them picking up their pace and running a little bit faster and going a little bit faster than normal. And here they get to the land of Ziklag. We find it's burned with fire, and nobody's there. What happened? The Amalekites, they came in. They took all the people that was there, the women, the children, everybody that was left, all the cattle, all the gold, all the silver, everything that was there, they took it and they left. And here it is, they're looking over everything. David and these 400 men, they're looking where their house was, they're looking where their kids played, they're looking at all the things they had, they're looking at maybe fields where their cattle was, and all of a sudden they see there's nothing there. And the men, David and his men, started weeping. It was so bad. In verse number 4, there was no more power to weep. You ever been to that spot? Just seems like everything's gone wrong. There's nothing good. Everything's in just the worst shape. I mean, here it is. It's just a horrible spot. We might have a flat tire and think we're going through the main tribulation. But could you imagine what David was going through? This is worse than having the dishwasher going out. This is worse than having the mother-in-law move in. I'm just saying, this is the hardest thing. They started weeping over everything until there is no more tears to come out. If you notice with me in verse number 5, the Bible mentions, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahoan the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Imagine with me, David's gone through the same thing his brethren have gone through. He's gone through some of the same troubles and trials. I mean, here he's wept, and there's no more tears left to weep. And all of a sudden things get worse. The people said it's David's fault. Here it is, it's not just trouble. Here folks are trying to live for God. David's trying to do the will of God. He comes to this spot, and now not only is it worse, but now they're wanting to kill David. They said, it's your fault this has taken place. You ever feel like you get bad news and a few more bad news, and all of a sudden then it gets even worse? This is what David was going through. And David is trying to live for God, trying to do the will of God, and problems and just horrible things. And if you notice with me, here in this awful time, the last part of verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. If you'll think with me for just a moment, when life hits you at the worst part in your life. Now, they say when you're young, teenager, you knew all the answers. Nobody asked you the questions, but you knew all the answers. You go through life, and boy, here it is after the teenage years, then you got the working years. Boy, we're so into work, and we got to make a living. We got to do this, and we got to do this, and we got to climb the ladder, all these things. And it's important. And in the midst of it, after some teenage years, then we hit some years when the kids get married, and all of a sudden here, there's grandkids. But isn't that a blessing when grandkids come along? Your grandkids is a reward of not killing your kids. It really is. And boy, we're encouraged by it. And then all of a sudden, we hit the years of health problems. Boy, it just seems like everything. And I'm just saying, here, life is filled with changes and different things. And dear, here, David, he's trying to think, what am I going to do? My wives are gone. Here it is. My children's gone. Everything I own is gone. What am I going to do? And we find here that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Could I say, David started looking not at people, but he started looking at the Lord. You know, as we're trying to press towards the mark God has, trying to get to do the perfect will of God, trying to stay in the perfect will of God, I want you to know, we're going to have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Sometimes you're going through something that maybe the person next to you don't understand. There's times you might go through things and maybe your pastor doesn't understand. There's times you might go through something, maybe the relatives don't understand. But here, David came to a spot, he begins to think for just a moment, wait a minute, I've lived for God, I've done things for God. I don't do things for people, I don't go ahead and do it for the people, I do it because I love God. Here, David begins to encourage himself in the Lord. I often think about this, would you do what you do if nobody ever patted you on the back? It's a good question. We have different ones that sing, and Maya is an encouragement as different ones that sing, and Maya, it bless our hearts, it encourages us, but would you still sing if nobody said, hey, that was good? Would you still maybe be in the choir if nobody ever mentioned it? Would you still teach? Would you still usher? Would you still do this, that, the other? Would you still do it? You realize here, we're not doing it for man, but we're doing it for the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Not all the time can we count on people going ahead and praising us and saying, boy, that was great. A fish fry. Boy, we had a great time. I told the men, I said, that fish smells good. Y'all have done a good job. I mean, I encourage them. You say, why? I'm hoping to come back next year for some more. But what if you didn't get a praise? What if they didn't, nobody said anything? What if somebody said something opposite like what happened with David? The people spake of stoning him. One time I was preaching, and after I got finished preaching, normally I go back to the back doors and I stand there, shake hands with folks. Folks lied to me as they go, you know what I'm talking about, as they go out. Person came up and said, that's the worst message I've ever heard. I was somewhat perturbed by it. I told the preacher, I said, somebody said something that wasn't too good. And the preacher said, was it this person? And he kind of described him. I said, yeah. He says, oh, don't worry about that. He just goes ahead and repeats what other folks have said. Well, it makes you feel a little better. I'm saying here, David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. David began to say, it's not me, but I'm going to trust God. Here in this passage of Scripture, remember who you're doing things for. I believe as David encouraged himself in the Lord, he begins to think back on the day he got saved. You know, if we could maybe begin to think, when life hits us at the worst, when things come in our life, when there's no more tears left to cry, I'm thinking we need to go back to the day God saved us. Begin to think about what God did in our life, how He rescued us. Hey, listen, we was in worse condition than you've ever can be in, again, in your life. We was in the worst condition, headed for hellfire, and God saved us. Remember what God's done for you in salvation. But I began to think as he encouraged himself in the Lord, I also think that David not only thought about salvation, but he thought about how God supplied all the other times. You know, God has a good record. If you was to look at the record of God, God has never failed. He has a good record. And maybe as David started thinking, he said, I've lost it all. What hope do I have? Maybe he starts to think back. As he was a shepherd, and a lion came by. And God supplied the strength to take care of that lion. Maybe he begins to start to think, the bear that came by, just go ahead and kill one of the sheep. And here it is, he was able to fight the bear, win the battle. And he's thinking, God supplied every time. Maybe he starts to think, there in the valley of Elah, as that big giant stands up and defiles the armies of God. And here this small young person at the time took a sling and a stone, and it was just the amazing grace of God. It landed in the right place. It did what it was supposed to. It took Goliath down. He's there, and David took the sword and cut it. God supplied. And maybe David was thinking, here it is, God has taken care of me all these other years, and I believe God's going to take care of me now. He encouraged himself in the Lord with salvation, I believe with supplying. And then I begin to notice something in this passage of Scripture. If you notice with me in 1 Samuel chapter 30, as all this has taken place, verse 7, David said to Ahithophel, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Ahithophel brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered and pursued, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Here David found, in this time of trials, he found the will of God. You know, sometimes God takes us through different things to put us on the path that's going to get us closer to the Lord. Now, not all the time is it an easy path. There's hard. David went through some hard things. And here in this time when there's just no more tears to weep, David said, I need to know for sure what the will of God is. You know, when trouble comes in your life, you still need to know what God's will is for your life. Yes. Now, I will say this, God's will does involve the local church. Every time you find in the Scriptures, you'll find in that New Testament, they got involved in the church. There was problems. Yes, James got beheaded there in Acts chapter 12, but yet the folks still came to church. God's will is always with the church. It's good for you to stay in church. It's good for you to stay around the church. Dr. Lee Robertson once said, if you keep the threes up, it will help your Christian life more than anything. He said the threes is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I'll say this, if you'll keep the threes up, these three times of service, it won't make you a perfect Christian. Don't think that. But it will help your Christian life. And I'm just thinking, here it is. David, he begins to say, what is God's will? You'll find God's will is in regards to the church. You'll find God's will is in regards to the Word of God. It's good to get into the Word of God. You say, I don't know what to do. Check the Word of God. The Word of God can help you. It can show you the way to go. God's will involve prayer, spending time with God. I'm just noticing here, David, he says, I need to know what God wants in my life. And when God showed him, he says, go ahead and pursue. If you notice with me in verse number 10, or in verse number 9, so David went. He and there were 600 men, not 400, 600 that were with him. And he came to the brook Bezar, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued. He, notice this, and 400 men. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Bezar. Now notice with me, there's 600 men with David. I mentioned 400, it was 600. 600 men that was with David. They found their homes destroyed. They found their wives taken. They found their children gone. They found all their cattle gone. Everything's lost. So David says to the 600, listen, I know what God's will is. Let's go. That's what God wants us to do. The 600 take off. They come to a big river. The river could be forged. And so that's what they started doing. Different ones started walking in. But if you notice with me, there were 200 that couldn't ford that river. There was 200 that couldn't go across that river. Their bodies, and the Bible mentions here, they were so faint that they couldn't go across the river. Do you realize that sometimes life hits different ones different from others? You realize there are times in our life when we go through things and maybe we think, well, we're all going through it together. We're all going through the same thing. But it hits some folks differently. I might not be able to take what you can take. I might not be able to go ahead and do what you can do. You realize that my life is different than yours, and not everybody can do the exact same thing. There's different ones. They try to say every man's supposed to be a preacher. I don't believe that. I believe God's placed some as preachers, but God's also placed some as workers. Praise the Lord for different workers. We got doctors. We got firemen. We got police. I mean, all these different. Every person has a different job. There was 200 that could not do the same thing the 400 were doing. And as I look at it, the brook could not be crossed for 200 folks. 200 people could not do the exact same thing the 400 were doing. Sometimes our body, and many of you know this, the older you get, you find out there's things you can't do anymore. I think about the tent. God's blessed with the tent meetings. We've held tent meetings since 1994. We've had our own tent since the year 2000. So for 20 years, we've had our own tent. We've set it up. And I remember when I first got the tent, it came in three big bags, you know, the material, three different pieces, and, you know, you got to sew them up and put it up. And I could take that bag when I first got it, grab it, throw it on my shoulder, and say, let's put it wherever we want. Well, you know what I found out after 20 years? I can't do that. I got to hope that there's some folks around that can help me carry that bag. Boy, here it is. And sometimes I say, let's get four men on it, because I'm thinking they're just as weak as I am. You realize as we get older, we're not able to do things like we used to. Get up and go, got up and went, left us. But you know, there's still a job that you can do. Though these 200 men were left here at the river, 400 others went ahead and went. 400 others went ahead. That was the will of God for those 400 to go. That's what God wanted them. But there was 200 so faint, so weak, they couldn't do. Now, maybe 15 years ago they probably could have. But I just notice here that they were so weak. And I'm noticing here sometimes the body, it takes over. Sometimes, boy, we have a desire to do this. We have a desire to do this particular thing. But our body won't let it. Oh, I'm just saying, but there's still a job for you to do. There's still a mark for you to press towards. There's still the will of God for you to accomplish. Here, even though life is hit differently. If you notice in this passage of Scripture, the 200 stay behind. And in verse number 11, the Bible says, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him to drink water, and gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. Here, if you notice with me, when trouble comes in your life, you don't know what to do. Could I give you this? Find an Egyptian. Now you say, what is an Egyptian? Well, an Egyptian, if you study scriptures, is somebody of the world. When you don't know what to do, problems come in your life, troubles take place, heartaches come, all the different troubles, and maybe you're at the spot where you just, you've wept and there's no more tears left. What should you do? If you notice with me, they found a person of the world and gave them something to eat. You know, when you start thinking about it, it might be God placed you with that particular difficulty that you might be a witness to somebody of the world. It might be God has placed that problem, and because of it, you're seeing folks you've never seen before. You're talking with folks you've never talked. And it might be God wants you to go ahead and share with them the bread of life. An Egyptian is somebody of the world. Somebody with worldly thinking, worldly influence. And here, I'm just noticing here, they found an Egyptian, somebody influenced by the world. You know, there's some folks, they're so influenced with the world, they don't know God. Here it is. They've watched the television. They saw the different things on TV. They went ahead and read maybe things in magazine. And boy, they don't know the first thing about God. What they need the true bread of life. If you notice with me, they begin to give them some bread. And I'm thinking, maybe God has placed you here in a spot. And you say things are not so good. Find an Egyptian. Let's give them some bread. If you notice with me, not only did they give them some bread, but I notice here they gave them something to drink. Oh, I begin to think, you remember that woman at the well? Jesus gave living water within sight of her. Oh, I'm thinking for just a moment, there's folks thirsty. They're thinking in their mind. Even today, there's some folks in their homes today. They're thinking, there has to be something more to life than what I have. But what we need, maybe God's put you through troubles, trials, difficulties, to where you can give some bread. You can give some water. If you notice in verse 12, he even gave something sweet, some figs. You know, sometimes when we get discouraged, it's easy for us to look so down and out. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying any problems. It's not easy when you go through troubles. It's not easy when you're in the hospital. It's not easy when all this. But I notice here they gave some figs. There's some sweetness. In the midst of your problems and trials, it ought to get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I understand there's problems there. I'm thinking for just a moment. I set up a tent over in Sylacauga, Alabama. And in the midst of setting up the tent, I remember taking the pole. We was having problems with it. There wasn't enough men. There was only myself and two other men. And they've never really set up the tent. And here I'm having to do most of the work. And I went and grabbed the main mast, and I'm trying to come up with it. And I felt something give. Well, come to find out, I kind of split a gut, if you know what I'm talking about, and had to go through surgery and different things. I'm honest, I did not feel good when surgery was over. Something about them cutting you and doing things, I did not feel good. I'm walking slowly, if you know what I'm talking about. And here it is, and as I'm, you know, after we got out of the where surgery, it was in and out process. Hallelujah, something quick. But still, it was surgery. They cut me open. They put me out, you know, the whole nine yards. When I finally came to my senses and I'm awake and now everything, and they're saying, yeah, well, you're going to be all right. And first thing I told my wife, I said, I'm hungry. So I said, I know I can't eat anything big. Let's go to Ruby Tuesday, get the salad bar. Hallelujah for salad bar. And so here it is. I'm just thinking, and there is a man while we was in there, he kind of jumped in front of me. I'm hurting. I'm not feeling good. I want to eat a little bit. And he jumps in front of me, and I just back away. I could have been mean to the guy. But I'm thinking for just a moment, you know what Egyptians need? They need a little bit of sweetness. You have Christ living in you. You ought to go ahead and have some sweetness to your life. We don't have to lash out. Somebody jumps in front of you in the road. What's the first impression? Do you pray for them? Honk! I'm just saying here, they gave them just a little bit of figs, two clusters of raisins. You say, what happens when something like that takes place? Oh, I begin to notice his spirit comes into him. All of a sudden now, he's wanting to help. And I'm just noticing here, they found an Egyptian. They favored an Egyptian. And my, they even forgave an Egyptian. When life hits you at the hardest. I leave you this thought, and we only got about 5 or 6 minutes. Here in the passage of Scripture, David begins to ask him in verse 13, to whom thou belongest thou, whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite. My master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south in Cherethites, upon the coast that belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burnt Ziklag with the fire. Here he begins to tell them everything that takes place. The end result is David. He says, can you take me to him? He said, I can, as long as you promise not to deliver me back to my master. David said, that's not going to be a problem. Don't worry about it. And here they come right to these folks that have taken their wives, taken their children, taken everything. And the Bible mentions that David went ahead in verse number 17, smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day. And there was there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And verse 18, and David recovered all. Now, I will say this, we go through problems, we go through trials, we have hard times. Sometimes it's not as easy as for others. And sometimes you say, Brother Aguiar, what if I have something that is terminally ill? There's no way I can get healed. Could I say, you're going to recover all. I'll say this, there's a better day a-coming. No sickness, no heartaches, no disease, no funeral. I'm just thinking. But I noticed David recovered all. And as he went ahead and got all this and he came back, there in verse 21, David came to the 200 men which were so faint they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Bezar. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Now notice verse 22, then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial and those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save every man is his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Here's some different ones. They said, well, because these did not cross the river with us, because they didn't get engaged in the fight, we're not going to give them anything except their wife and children. You know, sometimes, and I've had different ones say this, when they got older, they said, I'm not able to do much for God now. I'm at the brook. I'm not able to cross over. There's nothing I can really do. Would you notice with me, and in verse number 23, then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who have preserved us and delivered this company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alive. Isn't it interesting? David made mention, those that stayed, they stayed by the stuff. They didn't have a lot. But here they stayed by the stuff. They kept things going. They went ahead. They abode there. They did not give up. They went ahead and stayed there. And he says the part's going to be the same. They tarried by the stuff. I started to think about a missionary. I was talking with him. Got up in age. And he came to a spot in his life because he's not able to do what he used to do. He started 9 churches. And he had to come back due to health reasons and things like that. And I heard this missionary say, I feel like a has-been. That's what he said. I'm just not able to do what I used to do. But I look at that missionary and I see he's still serving God, still in church, still doing the work of God. And when you start looking at those different ones, they're still doing what they've always done. They don't have the energy like they used to. But they're still tarrying by the stuff. I look at different church members, and I've had church members. Here it is, when they were young, they would help, and maybe we're building a building. They would go up the ladder. They would lay the shingles, all the different things. And now, here it is, after so many years, they can't even get up on the first step of the ladder. Not because they don't want to. They want to, but their body won't let them. But you know what I find? I find them in church, tarrying by the stuff. They're the ones that encourage the pastor. They're the ones that encourage the Sunday school teacher. Boy, here it is. They're the ones that's singing. They're the ones that's still giving. They're the ones that's still present. They're the ones that's still encouraged. And here, if you notice, David said, we're going to give them the same thing. Could I say, you might be going through troubles. You might be going through trials. There might be heartaches. But, oh, let's press towards the mark. Oh, when we get to heaven, my, we'll join in. And my, what a blessing it'll be. We'll all receive what God has for us. I'm just thinking, when life hits you at the worst, what are you going to do? Remember who you're doing it for. Remember, find an Egyptian. Show somebody about the goodness of God. Show them what God can do. And then we realize there's a reward for everyone that will just continue to tarry by the stuff. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I pray you'll take the few thoughts that were given this morning and use them for your honor and your glory. Father, there's some different ones here you've blessed over the years. They sure have been a help to churches. Lord, they've went ahead and ministered. Lord, maybe it is some's going through trials. Maybe it is some's having hard times. Lord, we need to press towards the prize. Some are crossing the river. Some are staying and tarrying by the stuff. Father, just help us to do your will. In a few moments, Lord, we'll have this morning service. I pray you might take the message. May the will of God be done. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I needed that this morning. And I have a feeling probably some of the rest of you did too. You are dismissed. We'll reconvene at 10:30.